Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine. In the studio with me right now, I have Joy, Emily, and Michelle. First off, hello, ladies.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having us.
You are so welcome. We are going to talk about Willow's Way. And any regular that listens to this program and listens to my particular interviews, it's a big joke. I always say I love doing this program because I'm always exposed to different organizations that I've never heard of before. And I get to learn more about them. And you never know who could be listening that says, this is something that I want to get involved in, or this is something that I know someone in my life can benefit from. And that's exactly why I love doing what I do. And again, today, it's proven that I don't know all the organizations that exist, and Willow's Way, one of those organizations. So what we're going to do here is we're going to get to Emily and we're going to get to Michelle in just a little bit, because Michelle is part of the staff of Willow's Way. Emily is a recipient of Willow's Way, but first, we need to know about Willow's Way. So, Joy, sure, you're going to take it over from there.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to do so. It's funny that you mentioned that you've never heard of Willow's Way, because I often say that Willow's Way is one of the best-kept secrets in St. Louis County and St. Charles County. We are an agency that's in our 27th year of providing services to individuals with developmental disabilities. And we do so in a variety of ways. We serve individuals in our residential program, which is called our Independent Supported Living Program. That provides folks with developmental disabilities and intellectual impairments 24-hour support, should they need it, in whatever home that they choose to live in. So we provide the staff in order for them to be as independent as possible. We have about 40 folks in that program, and we serve them all over, from Dogtown to Wentzville to Florissant to Valley Park, wherever they choose to live, whatever their community is, we are there as their staff to support them in that community and to be as independent as possible. And we have our very fast-growing Realities program, which is a program that Emily is a part of and Michelle is a staff in. And that program is a little bit different. It is for individuals who have a learning disability of some sort, but they don't need the 24-hour support necessarily. They just need the partial support, maybe 5 or 10 hours a week. Oftentimes, they live independently. They live on their own. Some of them are married. Some of them have children. Many of them work in competitive employment, drive, do all of the traditional things that we're all very used to and accustomed to. But they might need some help with budgeting. They may need some help with paying their bills on time, with healthy eating, following up with doctors, things like that. And so we provide over 70 individuals with that support, and we're the largest provider of that support in St. Charles County. And then we have our day program, which is called RISE, and Emily is a part of that program as well. And that program started a few years ago, and it has grown so much that we have expanded and doubled the program over the course of this last year. And Emily is one of the people who we've been able to serve now that we have expanded, because we realize there's such a need in St. Charles County for individuals to have meaningful day activities. And she'll talk a little bit about what she finds meaningful in that program. We talked a little bit about it this morning as well. And then we have our Project Heart program, which serves a little over 1,200 individuals every year through a variety of classes. So we teach all sorts of independent skills. We teach people how to cook a healthy meal from start to finish. Those are our popular ones because you get the meal at the end of it. We teach people how to take the driving test, the written test, so that they can get their driver's license, which is a huge source of independence for all of us. We teach people how to have healthy relationships, how to ask somebody on a date. What do you do on a date? What do you do after a date? How do you follow up? We teach classes on everything from how to clean the lint in your dryer and change your light bulbs and things that we take for granted that are part of independent living that many of our folks may not necessarily know, because it's quite possible that nobody's ever taught them. So those are all the programs that we have there. And like I said, we've been around for 27 years, which is hard to believe that we are such a secret. But we're not a huge organization. We are about a $7 million budget. We have just over 200 employees. And if you put that in comparison with some of the other nonprofits that do the kind of work that we do, we're mid-size, and we like it that way. The reason why we like it that way is because it's familial. When you come in, we know you by name. We know your story. We know your families. We're a part of your lives. And staying that size is important to us so that we never lose the connection of why it is that we're doing what we're doing. It's about the people that we serve, and it's about the staff that we employ, and knowing all of them is hugely important to us. One of the things that makes Willow's Way kind of unique in the service delivery for people with developmental disabilities is how we got our start. And 27 years ago, people with developmental disabilities really had three options. You either lived at home with your parents, right, until your parents died, and then you went to live with a sibling. You went into a state-run rehabilitation center, Bell Fountain. We've all heard of it. There's still several statewide rehabilitation centers where you lived out your entire life. Residentially, you did all of your recreation, all of your social activities, all there on site. Or the progressive move was to move people into a group home, which sounds like the right thing to do, right? You're moving them into a house. But it was an unnatural setting. And what made it unnatural is that none of us go home and live with 700 people that we don't know. None of us share a bedroom with someone that we don't know. Well, I think most of us don't. And even though it was a house in a neighborhood, you could identify that house from a mile away because none of us have a 12-passenger van in our driveway. And so it was a step in the right direction. But what we did as an agency from the very, very start, and our core value, is about choice. And so what the founders of Willow's Way did was they went to the Department of Mental Health, which is our primary funder, and said, can we flip this script? Can we have somebody who lives in their own home stay in their own home, get a roommate to share expenses, and then we provide the staff to them, much like you would see in a home health agency. As we age, we may need those home health services. Very few of us are going to go into a home health agency. We stay home. And those services come to us. And that's what is so empowering about Willow's Way. And it's our core value. It is in everything that we do. It's about choice, choosing where you want to live, choosing the staff that you want to support you, choosing every aspect of your life. And we are there to help guide the way. That's it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you have to tell me how you got involved, because obviously, most of the people I interview, they have some sort of connection and there's compassion. But in your voice, and just, I can tell that this is something you absolutely love.
I do. I was thinking about that way on the drive down here, even how incredibly blessed I am every single day I come to work. And I don't take that for granted. I absolutely love what I do. And I've been there for the last 12 years. Previous to that, I worked in HIV for 10 years. And previous to that, I worked in a group home. That's how I put myself through the end of high school, all the way through college, and all the way through grad school, was working in a group home with eight people who had behavior disorders. And that's what I did. And so when I was leaving HIV and sort of reflecting back on my career, this was what held my heart, was that time. I can still remember every guy that lived in that house. I can remember them all. And they had such a huge impact on my life that it drew me back into serving people with developmental disabilities. You're talking about some of the most vulnerable people in our society, some of the most overlooked in our society. I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of attention around kids with Down syndrome or kids with autism. And so the question becomes, what happens to the kids when they grow up? Who's there for them when they graduate from high school, as Emily just did 2 years ago? Who's there for them to make sure that they have that meaningful life? The hope is that their family is, but their family also needs to just be their family. They need to just be a mom and a dad and not always a caretaker. They need to be a sibling, a brother, a sister, and not necessarily a caretaker. And that's where we step in. We allow them to become a parent again and not necessarily the person who just provides care.
Well, I will also bring to attention that the mental health, I don't even know if the word initiative is right, maybe the stigma. We are slowly peeling back those layers. And we are a little bit further along than where we were 5, even 10 years ago, but not anywhere where we need to be. So it is so super important to have organizations like yours to help those, because you know what? You just said something that I did not even think about. What happens when they graduate high school? That's a good question.
Right. Because the attention is so much focused on kids. That oftentimes is the case. But as we see those numbers in the diagnosis of autism increase, and autism speaks and all of those things, it's fantastic attention to, you know, a huge issue. Absolutely. But all of those kiddos are going to grow up. And all of those kiddos are going to need services at some point. And that's where I feel honored. We serve adults with developmental disabilities. They are individuals that are likely going to need services for the rest of their life. And we are there, for their families, for their, siblings. And we are there to make them feel proud, connected, not just to their community, but to their peers. That's one of the things that Emily, just even a minute ago was talking about, how she will talk about the fact that she has autism. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge to be able to say, I have this. I'm not ashamed of it. It's a part of who I am. And I'm connected to other people who share similar issues and have similar struggles and have similar things in common. And isolation is a killer. It's a silent killer. It is for all of us. We need human connection. That's why we're on Facebook and social media right. All the time. We need that connection. And so do people with developmental disabilities. And I think the assumption for so long was that people with developmental disabilities didn't have the right, or they weren't aware enough, or didn't have the capacity to make choices. And that's so absolutely wrong. They have the right to make choices, and they have the ability to make choices. They need the opportunity to make choices, and that's what we do. And sometimes they're not the best choices, and we're there with them for that too. But we do what we can to make sure that they are living out the life that they want, not the life that a facility wants, the life that they choose.
We all make bad choices.
Yes, we do.
So, you know what? We need to talk to Emily, because you are what this organization is all about. First of all, can I do a pre-birthday shout out?
Thank you.
October 15th, Emily is going to be 21 and she's going to Six Flags. So, Emily, let's talk about your experience with Willow's Way. I want you to tell me in your words what this has been like for you, what it's done for you.
Well, before I was in it, I went with some other group to like go try to volunteer places, mm-hmm. like to get a job.
Right.
But where I went, they'd say, oh, you're too slow for this. So I couldn't do that. And then I got here, which took a little while because it was kind of busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I got here. And then we volunteer. They don't care how fast you are. They just let you do your job. And you practice and practice, and you get good at it. And some of the things that you do, one of my favorite things is where you pack bags, but you learn how to pack bags. But the cool thing is the bags you pack mm-hmm. go to people without food.
Oh, so you're helping those in need.
Yes.
Okay, so I know that Joy spoke just a minute ago about it. You know that you have autism.
Yes.
And do you remember when you knew that you had autism?
Well, when I was little, my medicine wasn't working right.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a very tough time in elementary school. I'd scream and cry because I didn't want to go to school. I'd try to stay in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got to middle school, my medicine started working, but there was a lot of bullying, and people are mean and they can be cruel, but you just have to push through that.
Well, you are a bigger person than me, so that takes a lot to say that and to do that, and you should be very proud of yourself for that. So let's talk a little bit more about Willow's Way and some other things that you like to do there that they've provided you the opportunity to do.
Well, I like animals.
I love animals.
So there's this place where you can like, forgot what it's like a pet place, but you can go clean windows for it.
Oh, okay.
But you also get to go in and feed the dog treats, dogs treats and stuff, which is pretty fun.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. Is there anything else that you like to do when you're at Willow's Way?
Yes. Most of the time they have like people who have goals. They have their name next to an activity, which means they co-lead the activity. Means they help out with that activity, so they learn how to do different stuff. And I've actually met a lot of new friends.
Well, I was just going to ask you, do you have some friends that you consider close because of Willow's Way?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to tell me a couple of their names?
Let's see. There's Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
She always sits next to me at lunch, and she's super nice. And one of my... Sorry, everybody, I only can name a few. But one of my favorite staff is Tori. She's like a sister to me. Yeah.
Okay, so I have another question for you. For what you've experienced in Willow's Way, being an adult and getting ready to turn 21, do you feel like you can take on some of those adult responsibilities because of what you're learning at Willow's Way?
Actually, the other day, a week ago, my sister, she needed to get some things from the shop and save. I wanted some things too. So my dad gave me a list and my sister gave me a cart and she took her cart and she went around the store and I went around the store with my cart. And I actually went and paid for mine and she paid for hers and we met up at the end.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, a very big deal for
me. Congratulations. You should be so proud. I'm going to switch to Michelle. We'll come back to you, Emily, and talk about your involvement, because when I first met you guys, you were with Michelle as her staff. And so what does that mean? And what do you do at Willow's Way?
So I'm a community resource coordinator. So I work part of the Realities program. So it's more of the independent side. So as Joy was saying, it'll be people that either live independently or very close to living independently and just working on whatever home skills or any kind of community integration. Anything that they might need to get taken care of, we work on it.
Okay, well, you have to tell me how you got involved, because it takes a special person to do something like this.
I actually just got hired on in April of this year. I got my bachelor's of social work at Lindenwood, and always kind of known that I've wanted to work with people and helping people whatever way, and the opportunity kind of just presented itself in front of me, and I'm very grateful. It's a very rewarding job.
What do you want to see happen down the road, not just with Willow's Way, but even with, you know, the mental health and what the perspective is?
I'm definitely a big advocate for mental health in all regards. I think kind of what you were touching on before about the stigma and kind of getting rid of that as much as possible is really an important part, because seeking out help makes a big difference. And if you are too afraid or ashamed to seek out whatever help you might need, that's going to block you from making any other kind of further progress.
Right. So then when you are done with this interview and you have the opportunity to be with Emily, then do you have other individuals that are in Willow's Way that you spend time with as well?
Yes. So I've got Emily's actually not specifically on my caseload.
Okay.
But we all kind of take turns and help each other out with the different clients and whatever else they may need to do. So before, I went and volunteered at a thrift store with one of my clients. And then after I drop Emily back off, I'm going to go exercise with my other clients. So either if it's rainy or hot, we'll go walk at the mall, or if it's nice out, we'll go to the park, walk, bring balls, and do whatever, you know, to get some exercise in.
Thank you for what you're doing. It's an awesome thing. And you're young, I can tell, but for you to want to do this and help out, that's great. Emily.
So, my sister works at Teen Club.
Okay.
And she's a site specialist, so I'm very happy for her.
Oh, so she works at Willow's Way?
No, she works at Teen Club.
It's a different sort of a different sort of program, but it helps people with teens with developmental disabilities.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so your sister has now developed a career out of likely her relationship with
me
being your sister.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have been able to teach her that there is a lot of work that needs to be done, and she's doing what she can to help.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool thing, Emily. Really cool thing. I want to talk about this photography club that you guys have, because I know there was just an event that happened, and you know, lots of people need preparation for advance. Like, you should see my calendar. I've got stuff for next year already booked. So let's talk a little bit about that for the listener.
Absolutely. A few years ago, we identified, actually, they just emerged. We didn't identify them. We have two people in our realities program specifically. One is one heck of an artist in painting, and his name is Nahoma. And the other person was Nate. And Nate was an outstanding photographer. And so from that, we said, I wonder how many of our other folks have this talent that we may not necessarily know about. And from that grew what is now known as the Mentor Arts Program. We have eight individuals who are in our drawing classes. They come once a week. They work with a mentor. And they do painting and that sort of thing. We provide everything for them, their canvases, the paints, the materials. It's all free. A lot of them are members of our realities program, and so their staff bring them to that. And then we have a photography club that has, I believe, five different photographers that are mentors from the community that come and join the photography club, and 20 of our participants in it. And they go around to various sites around St. Louis, and the mentors help them with angles and lighting and sort of, you know, perfecting their craft and their art. So every year we have an Art of Wine event. It is not a fundraiser. It is an art show. And this year we had it at Edge Wild, $40 a ticket. You get a couple glasses of wine, some music, lots of food. And there are 50 pieces of framed art that are for sale. And all of the proceeds of that art go back to the artists themselves. So we had a photographer last year who made $600 off of his artwork. And now we were doing this for about 3 months out of the year. It has now grown to, it needs to be a year-long program because the people who are in the program want this program so much. It's grown by word of mouth. They see their friends doing it, their peers doing it, and they want to try it too. So now it is a year-long program. And even if we were past the Art of Wine event, our next step is now we've had so many requests for the art that our clients are producing and creating that there will be a site on our website that will be an online store for the art that our artists are creating every day. So we're really excited about that. It's something that grew organically, like a lot of the programs at Willow's Way. Our day program really grew organically. We sort of started it with just a few people, and it grew and it grew. We decided that we needed to make sure that volunteering is a key component of every single program that we offer, is giving back. They're learning job skills as well as giving back to the community. These things all don't necessarily come with a plan necessarily. I'd like to say they do, but they don't. They grow organically. We realize that they have tremendous talent, and that, you know, there may be untapped talent. So there are people who've never picked up a paintbrush who paint things that I have hanging in my house.
Well, I was just going to say, I have now become more interested in meaningful pieces that are done, not that it's not done with love, but just the story behind it and knowing the story behind it will make me want to purchase that over anything else that's just in a store.
Exactly. I have a funny story about that. I was actually doing a presentation for a women's group, and I was talking about our mentor arts program, and I was talking about Nahoma, who's kind of one of the people who kicked that off. And as I'm giving this presentation to these 100 women, one woman pops up, jumps up, and says, I have a Nahoma in my living room. And it was like having a Warhol. I mean, it was one of those moments. And so now that's how we refer to it. I have a Kevin. I have a Nahoma. I have, you know, I mean, I have an Aaron. That's how we refer to these pieces. Like, exactly what they are. They are artists. And Tony, who, you know, just joined photography club a couple of years ago, now identifies himself as a photographer. He cleans offices for his job, but if you ask him what he is, he's a photographer.
Now, you can meet these individual artists too, or?
Absolutely. You'll see their, when we do the website, you'll see their bios and their pictures and all of that. And yes, you can come and meet with them if you'd like. At the event, they're always there selling their art. They sell it better than anyone else. You are more than welcome to come and meet with them. They'd love to tell you what inspired them to create the piece, and so that you have a face and a story to go with
Absolutely.
That piece that you're looking at in your home.
How would you get into this?
See, now we have another
interested, Emily?
Yeah. I told you, it's word of mouth. It's it takes on a complete life of its own, and it's been so much fun to watch. All of the clients right now are just on, you know, they're on pins and needles, and they're just so excited.
So they're like allowed to paint wherever their mind tells them to?
Pretty much.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what I want in my house. That's exactly what it is. That's mm-hmm. what it should be about. Mm-hmm. All right. I know we don't have a lot of time left, so there's some things I want to wrap up before I let you guys enjoy the day. Can we talk, Joy? Can individuals get involved as far as volunteering, or what if they think, okay, my child, my cousin, my niece, my nephew, my brother, my sister qualifies for this? Where do they go? How do they get the information they need?
Well, they all need to start with the Department of Mental Health.
Okay.
But I say that you need to start with the Department of Mental Health, but that we will walk you through it.
Okay.
Even if you don't choose us.
Okay.
And I tell that to families all the time who call me. And my direct line number is 636-757-0543.
Will you repeat that?
636-757-0543. I give out my direct line number specifically so you don't have to go through a voicemail. So you actually get a person on the phone, and we will walk you through that process, whatever it may be. And our funding does come from the Department of Mental Health. They are the gatekeeper for services for any agency that does what we do. But it can be daunting, and it can be overwhelming. And sometimes you just need somebody to spend some time with you to say, how do I get through mm-hmm. this? There are lots of online resources, the Developmental Disability Resource Board. There are online resources for sure, but sometimes just having that person to talk to and that person to say, when you hit a roadblock, call me back, because you will.
Right.
You may very well hit a stumbling block. Call me. I will walk you through this, even if you don't have to choose Willow's Way for that. We just want to be there for families that are feeling overwhelmed, that are feeling confused, that are feeling frustrated. We will be their support all the way through.
Emily, I want to know, I guess I should ask you the question, what do you want the public to know about you as an individual that suffers from autism?
That we're just like everybody else.
That's all you have to say, isn't it?
Yep.
It's just that easy.
Yep.
Maybe give you a chance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am so happy that you found Willow's Way. It seems like this is exactly where you need to be, and what you just said about going shopping at Shop and Save, you should be very proud about mm-hmm. those things. And I yeah. wish you nothing but continued success.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, what about you? What are your goals? What do you want to do? What's the last minute thoughts that you have for the listener?
Just keep in mind, just be kind to everybody you meet. You never know what people are battling with, whether it is a developmental disability or just having a bad day. Luckily enough, anytime I've been out in the community with my clients, from what I've seen so far, everybody's been patient and understanding and interacting with us. So that's been very positive for me. But just keep in mind, be nice to everybody.
I know. I like that. Be nice and be kind. And Joy, last minute thoughts from you.
Well, and first of all, we're going to get Emily into the Mentor Arts
yes,
program.
Yes, I want to see the pictures, please.
I just wanted to make sure that people don't always look the other way, that they look towards the folks that are vulnerable and that may need support. Don't look away. Look towards them. figure out what you can do to support them, whether that's give them a shot at a job, you know, spend some time with them when you're sitting next to them at church, interact with them, have them involved in your life, have them over. Isolation, again, is a huge, huge issue with the folks that we serve and for everybody in general, but particularly if you have a developmental disability, you feel left out. Include them in your world.
Perfectly said. Perfect way to wrap up this edition of St. Louis Voices. Thank you to Michelle and Emily and Joy from Willow's Way. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That does it for another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine.